Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Text line 251-343-0106. Coming up in about an hour, State Senator Chris Elliott, our returning champion, fresh off another week of legislative session, so stick around for that. Joining us now, he's our Attorney General, also a candidate for United States Senate. Steve Marshall is with us. General, how are you?
I'm doing well, doing well. Good to be with you.
Thanks for making time. We always appreciate it. Well, how's the campaign going?
It's good. Yeah, we've been on the roads and seeing lots of folks across the state, and look, we're less than 4 months away, so I think it's beginning to be more full on the mind of folks around, and very much appreciate the support we're getting. You know, just this week, Tony Perkins, who's well known to many in the Christian conservative movement, endorsed, and so really pleased to see people like that support us.
Well, and you know, the thing, and you've been in these races time and time again, but there's still a lot of votes up for grabs, and you know, almost 100 days out, I don't remember, and it is probably some point this was the case, but this many undecided voters up this close to the primary day.
Yeah, and you follow just probably a lot more than I do on that front. But, you know, it's interesting. We got so many open seats this cycle. And so I think there's an awful lot for folks to be able to consider and kind of the direction that they want to go. And look, for many of these races, they have candidates for which they're familiar in different spots that are now running for a new position like I am for United States Senate. And so, you know, I think it's folks being thoughtful. They want to consider it. And, you know, we're excited to be able to make our pitch as to why we're the right person to be able to serve.
Yeah, so I mean that's what this race will come down to. You're probably going to wind up with a runoff, but once you woo those undecided voters, those are the ones up for grabs. And I don't know, and maybe you could talk about this a little bit. You know, what is the message there? If you're still sitting on the sidelines here, and you're going to vote, you're a likely Republican voter. Likely Republican primary voter hasn't made up their mind yet, and you know, for whatever reason, just haven't had a chance to really study it or whatever. But like that seems to be the name of the game, and making, you know, there's a lot of choices out there. Why are you the best choice?
Yeah, I think for me it's pretty simple: is that we've taken on the tough issues, we've been in the lane that the people of Alabama want us. But when we've taken on those fights, we've been able to deliver the results. And like, you can even see it just this week, is you and I both have talked an awful lot about how Alabama led the charge against gender affirming care, that we're going to protect kids from the insanity that was going on with regard to puberty blockers, testosterone shots for girls, and then the surgeries taking place on kids' bodies. And we took that fight on when nobody else would do it. And even this week, we now saw the consequence of that when the Association of Plastic Surgeons came out and said it is not appropriate to engage in surgeries on kids. Now, that's something we've all embraced for a long time. But now we see the national associations that before were saying this was medically necessary treatment, now going completely the opposite direction. You remember the fight that we had against Rachel Levine when she was second in charge at Health and Human Services for the Biden administration, when we uncovered the emails that showed they were fighting to take away any age restrictions on surgery at all, let alone saying they ought to be banned. And so what I think the people have seen from me as Attorney General is that not only will we align with the values that make our state great, but we've delivered tangible and real results to the people. And we're going to be able to do that in the United States Senate.
Let's start here with this, and my audience is probably not as aware, but up near Birmingham, Irondale, the mayor there is essentially proclaiming his city to be a sanctuary city. They're not going to cooperate with ICE. It's very strange politics, but such as it is, this is where they decided to plant their flag. And I correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think that's legal in Alabama, is it?
Well, there's no way to be able to enforce that. And look, let me be clear. If ICE needs help, and they're in Irondale, Alabama law enforcement is going to make sure that they have assistance. And, you know, we've even seen this week, we had one of the ICE agents carrying out their lawful duties injured and executing an arrest. And we're going to make sure that they have support of local and state law enforcement. And look, this is virtue signaling to the left. It's all about creating a headline. But as long as I'm Attorney General, we're going to make sure that when ICE needs help, that they're going to be able to have that help in our cities. And the fact that one mayor proclaims some effort to not allow federal law to be enforced, we're going to make sure that that doesn't be not what's going on in that city and doesn't occur in other places around the state.
Yeah, because if they get away with it, you know, fortunately, it doesn't seem like it's a real thing in Alabama. I mean, maybe it's not as quite as spoken about as this mayor has, but we don't have many of these examples of rogue mayors making these sort of declarations, do we?
No, we don't. And look, you don't have the ability to exempt yourself from lawful provisions of federal law or state law, for that matter. And if that's the case, I mean, that's where chaos occurs, right? I mean, it's one of the reasons why it's contributing to the situation up in Minnesota. When you have elected officials trying to argue that certain laws don't apply there, when clearly they do. I mean, look, for us to be the nation that we are, where the rule of law matters, we have to embrace the fact that as part of our government itself, that there are two laws that are in place, one being the federal, the other being state, along with local ordinances, that all apply. And you cannot somehow or another, through simply a public statement or a press release, somehow try to exempt yourself from those provisions.
So you just think it's a virtue signaling exercise and not really anything beyond that other than rhetorical?
Absolutely. I think that's all it is.
We're joined by Attorney General Steve Marshall here on the program. Another thing, and we've seen it here in Alabama, these CDLs issued to immigrants who don't speak the language. Maybe they're here illegally or on an expired visa. But as it turned out on Highway 43 there in Thomasville, the result of the fatality. But talk a little bit about that and making sure you get a handle on that, because there really is a public safety element to our highways and roads. We assume, you know, all these truck drivers are, you know, been trained and, you know, they understand the rules of the road, but it hasn't always been the case.
No, and look, I think we do a better job of it in Alabama than other places, and I think our trucking association has been proactive, but you see an effort, particularly right now at the federal level with my good friend Ashley Moody, Senator from Florida, with the Safe Truckers Act, being able to say two things now have to fundamentally be in play. Number one, if you're going to get a CDL, you have to be proficient in the English language. It makes perfect sense, right, that you need to be able to read the signs, be able to understand the English language to be able to safely operate large trucks on our roads. But we're also going to make sure that a CDL is going to be issued specifically to those who are in this country as citizens or have special status that otherwise is recognized. And so I think both of those need to be the law of the land so that the exceptions don't apply. And look, if we make sure that illegals are not driving our trucks, one thing we're doing is opening up jobs for American citizens to be able to have good paying jobs that otherwise are being taken by others. And so commend that effort at the federal level, and also know that in Alabama, the Trucking Association is trying to also advocate for similar measures to be able to protect us on our roads here.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, I guess the problem is as such, though, somebody in one of these blue states will issue a CDL to someone who's not qualified, qualified based on their legal status here, and they'll have that. They'll have that. And they'll come to Alabama and they will drive on the roads here. And so, like, I guess that's the question. Like, if California says I'm okay, then why wouldn't I be okay in Alabama? And how do you grapple with that?
Yeah, I think that's the reason why federal legislation is going to be so important, because it's going to preempt, you know, liberal laws like from the state of California or wherever else it may be, so that there's uniformity across all of our nation's highways. And so, you know, Senator Moody's bill will be able to address the issues I discussed, along with accountability for states in proving that they are ensuring proficiency in the English language for those that have received CDLs. And look, I think that is a lawful exercise of federal power and authority, because it goes directly, as you described it to begin with, this is a public safety issue, and this is one that I think everybody ought to be able to support.
Also, talk a little bit about the SAVE Act. It's my my listeners are very, very interested in this, but voting, and I Alabama kind of holds itself as a model for other states. We've had these discussions, but there's still this push, this early voting push. We saw it during COVID, and it really does impact election outcomes. But we in Alabama tend to reject that.
Yeah, and I think we've been on the forefront of voter ID. During my step, it's almost going to be 9 years next week. I've been attorney general for the first 6 or 7 of those years. We were fighting the efforts to just take away voter ID for us at the polls. And now that's being universally accepted across as something that is good. And, the SAVE Act just gets that additional provision, which we know that is otherwise illegal to vote in federal elections if you're in this country illegally. But we have not required affirmative verification of your citizenship status. And so SAVE Act's going to be able to ensure it. And when you know that, for example, right now that in California, they've issued over 1 million driver's licenses to those in this country illegally, that it's not sufficient to be able to prove citizenship to just be able to show a valid driver's license. And SAVE Act is going to help us ensure that, along with attacking the fraud that can occur from mail-in voting. And, at least with Alabama, with our absentee ballots, you've got multiple signature requirements that validates who you are and the fact that you're submitting it for certain reasons. SAVE Act is going to help provide additional election security, number one, by making sure that you're not voting as somebody that's not eligible based on your citizenship status, and number two, that we're not allowing the fraud to be perpetrated in mail-in voting.
Let's get into some other things here. I'm kind of interested in this, and I know you've endorsed in this race, and I know you got your own race you're probably more focused on, but watching the Attorney General's race here in Alabama and watching the candidates and the subject matter, I mean, what would you say to these guys? Do you feel good about the field? Do you feel good about sort of the, what they are putting at the forefront there on the campaign trail?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think you're hearing a validation of what we've been working on now for the last 9 years on the issues that are important to Alabama, where we can lead the charge, both on, when those that are harming Alabama citizens on consumer protection, where we collected now $750 million on the opioid side, where, particularly when you have a blue administration, that you become that last line of defense, and the fights that we had and suing the Biden administration and winning multiple victories on issues that matter to the people of the state. And then, having the privilege, Jeff, to be able to stand with principled individuals across the country that are exercising their valid First Amendment rights, and to be able to stand with them to say that they're doing it. And then never losing sight of the fact that we also have that role working with law enforcement across the state and talking about the issues that are important there. And Catherine Robertson has been with me from day one. I think she is prepared to sit in this seat the moment that the election occurs, and excited about her candidacy and what she's offering.
The other thing, we're on watch here for Supreme Court decisions. And there's, the one I guess we're really watching is the redistricting on Louisiana. And I don't know. I guess it could come at any time. It's not really clear to me. You keep hearing to expect it. But you see what the legislature's done, and they've kind of laid the groundwork to get ready in case there is a decision there. Is that going to be, assuming Louisiana is ruled on the way a lot of people are anticipating, and let's say they strike down parts of the VRA or whatever, they say it's misinterpreted or misapplied, but if it forces the special session, they redraw the line. I mean, we're going to have this hurry-up offense, and you're gonna be in the middle of this. What do you think about that potential and the legality of it?
Yeah, I think, Jeff, the question is going to be, where does the court land in the breadth and the scope of their ruling? If it's very narrow, then we're going to have to evaluate the impact on the case that we have. If it's much broader, as you described, striking down some of the revisions of Section 2 and kind of what impact that has, big picture. And I fully expect that if Louisiana wins, which I think they will, and depending on the scope of the ruling, that we'll see our case being sent back to the three-judge panel to reevaluate based upon whatever analysis emerges from either a plurality or a majority on that decision. And so I think there's a lot of moving parts on this. We're already sort of preparing for multiple possibilities. But, you know, look, in the best-case scenario, you could have, you know, a complete victory that liberates Alabama to be able to get its legislature to do what it's lawfully allowed to do, is to be able to set those lines using legislative discretion and doing it with traditional redistricting factors being in place. And I think you may have an opportunity for a wholesale change in Alabama. But right now, I think timing is key. The breadth and scope of that decision is the second thing to be able to evaluate. And then we'll be prepared to move quickly depending on what happens.
General, we're out of time, but before we let you go, give us a let people know how they can find out more about your campaign or what they need to do. We can point them somewhere. Where do they need to look?
Yeah, it can begin at cmarshforsenate.com. We're out there both on Twitter and Facebook, and sort of sharing kind of where we are going around the state, and particularly all those that are involved in supporting what we're doing. And just grateful to get a chance to run, and look forward to being able to serve the people of Alabama.
Well, General, best of luck to you, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.